sequence hymn that we just sung, 490, is so special. That is the song that when I was a school chaplain, we finished every chapel service every day singing that song. 350 kids singing that song. It's never left me, and it's what's lifted me when things have seemed to be a bit of disrepair. I say that because listen to this gospel. I came to bring fire to the earth. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Well, good morning, everybody. What a great day for a baptism. This is one of those Sundays, as a preacher, you kind of go all the way to the collect, and you go, what is there to preach on? Because it's one of those days, honestly, having to preach, you want to say, really, Jesus, this is what you're giving us? It's a tough gospel lesson to hear. It's hard to process. It's hard to accept. Harsh words. This isn't the gentle, meek, and mild Jesus that we're so used to at times. No kind words about love. No kind words about forgiveness. This is, as some have said, the other side of the gospel, the other side of the faith, the side we don't want to embrace so willingly. But there it is. And it's very much a part of our whole Christian message and story. This emotion-laden statement from the Prince of Peace, who declared, "Blessed are the peacemakers," just hits hard today. I was thinking of my senior year high school English teacher who would have said, that's a lot of exclamation points. And even if it is a metaphor or hyperbole, whatever it may be, just doesn't sit well. But then again, we're honest with ourselves. When does the message of Jesus really sit well? And when was actually that ever the point for what Jesus had to say to sit? Think about it. Certainly the image of Jesus on the cross doesn't sit well. But yet for us, the cross remains a symbol of love and a covenant and promises made between God and us. But let's be clear about this passage. Jesus wasn't saying that he wanted division to come to God's people. He was just saying that he knew that there would be those who would turn their backs, not only on him, but on his disciples. Jesus' frustration may have been that he wanted God's people to live out the two great commandments and to care for the poor and the needy. And he didn't see it happen. Maybe he decides to cry out in anger. You see, as painful as this is, the scripture we hear is not about listening to past stories. It's about actually taking it and to challenge ourselves to examine. To examine the text and find out what they have to say to us today. Even when they are difficult for us to hear. When Jesus talks about fire, and about his baptism, and about division, and about conflict. He is talking about what it looks like and what it feels like to struggle to live the life of discipleship. The struggle to be faithful to the vision that God has set before us. We cannot overlook, we cannot ignore the reality that God offers us a vision of what human life can be. And actually what it should be. Most of us pretty much know what that vision is. It simply has to do with shaping ourselves as people by living faithfully, with God at the absolute center of our lives. It has to do with telling the truth and with living not for ourselves alone, but for others. It has to do with holiness of life and with a true, passionate concern for the poor, the persecuted, the lonely, and the lost. It has to do with the way that we take care of what God has given us. It has to do with all those things. People in the lesson today were being criticized for not doing it. It comes down to making Jesus known in our lives for those around us. God expects us to strive, to conform, to live our lives based on that teaching. I've often thought in these past months what it looked like, what our personal and our church life and our communities look like if we took Jesus' words more seriously at home, school, work, and our communities. Might we experience more of the stress and the vision that Jesus speaks of? Would it cause more of that if we pushed our community leaders or stretch our personal and congregational priorities in order to speak up for those who have no voice, and to care more fully for those who really are in need and suffering around us? You see, what Jesus is ultimately saying about this division, you have a choice. And that choice is, are you going to recognize that values must be changed, priorities must be shifted, our very essence, our very way of being must be changed? A friend of mine, who's a priest, was doing a renovation of his home, and he reflected to me that in the midst of this renovation, he talked about how that's providing him an understanding of Jesus' teaching. He said, Jesus doesn't want to move into the house of our hearts just to slap a coat of fresh paint and to change the drapes. Jesus brings a wrecking ball to tear down whole walls, gut the rooms down to the studs. It's amazing what clergy think of when they're in the midst of doing something like that. But there you go. But you see, the thing is, with that kind of renovation, that kind of teaching, that kind of living, is not easy. So, this is the question. On this day, what holds us back from embracing the kingdom life that Jesus both describes and demands? What fears, pressures, what stresses distract us from the mission to which Jesus has called us? To not be complacent in discipleship. To not get stuck in institutionalism. To not get stuck in self-security, ego, and pride that puts ourselves over the needs of others. To not get crippled by fear that holds us back. And the self-reliance that says, we can do it on our own. Quite frankly, Jesus demands we stop making excuses. Stop making excuses that prevent us from serving a world that truly is desperate to hear good news. Jesus is asking us to risk for the sake of the gospel. Each of us as disciples, just as his original disciples, were sent to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. We too are also sharing those challenges, the same rejection, the same suffering. We know what we need to do, and I know it is not easy. Jesus said, I've come to start a fire on this earth. I've come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and to confront. My friends, Jesus is not trying to divide us, but rather have us confront how we choose to live our lives. The division will come between those who choose to do God's will and those who choose to pursue their own individual agendas. This morning, as we baptize Cam, we will all recommit ourselves to this work. each of us will renew our own baptismal covenant. And in that, we not only reaffirm our belief in God, Jesus Christ, his Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but we will rededicate our lives to live beyond ourselves, to continue the apostles' teaching, to persevere in resisting evil, to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to strive for justice and peace among all. My brothers and sisters, God's love is a miracle. It truly is. It's a miracle that can save us from our worst selves. We are called to participate in God's work by simply daring to forgive, daring to heal, daring to serve, daring to love. I believe now more than ever that with God, all things are possible. And no matter what else is happening in the world, we can, person by person, church by church, community by community, one small act of love, one small act of courage at a time, will in fact show the world of God's never failing.